traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. It's time for the International Equine Report. This is Scott Miller, founder of the International Equine Network, coming to you today live from Delray Beach, Florida. On today's program, we're going to talk about some good things here. Just kind of going to be a casual chat. If you want to call in, our number is 323-744-4831. And you can ask any questions, and I'll answer them for you today. Today's your lucky day, and it won't cost you a thing, but just a little time on the phone, and I'll answer all your questions. And in the horse business, it's important to realize the projects that you're taking on. And when I say projects, I mean like your training, your farm business, you know, everything that you do related to the horse industry. And it can kind of jump up and grab you all at once. Sometimes it can really just get you down, and you have to be really organized to get things done, you know, to make it a success in the business, whether you have one horse or, you know, you've got 100 horses in a big farm and training all over the world that you have to do. And so we're going to start out, I label it on my sheet here is stable projects and how I have to do them. And one of the things that you need to start with are your daily needs. And in those daily needs, you would include feed and training, transportation, employees. There's just so many things that you have to do on a daily basis. And it's important that you get real refine your daily needs down to an art. You got to get your timing down, because horses are creatures of habit. If they're used to eating at 5:30 every morning, then they eat at 5:30. If you're 30 minutes late or 30 minutes early, it can get them out of sync. They'll be calm and relaxed if you can hit that feed mark every day at 5:30 or whatever time you decide to feed, because horses are creatures of habit. And so that kind of carries over into your employees, into the barn. And, you know, if you have an employee come in at 5 o'clock every day and expect him there, he gets into that habit. And you kind of get into a routine. And all the routines and everything that you have in your barn help you be successful. And it's very important that you stay right on that team, on that routine and time schedule. And so in your daily needs, you want to look at the time that you feed, the time that you clean the stalls, the time that you feed your morning breakfast, the time that you train. Everything has to be, and it's easy to just take a list and make down everything that you do in a day's time, starting with when the employees show up, and then, you know, kind of give them a roadmap of what the day's going to look like and try to keep every day the same, you know, keeping that in that routine. And the daily needs, it's very, very important that you set aside time at some given time and point during the day to talk to your employees, find out how they're doing, they got any problems with the horses, or, you know, just kind of be their friend. That's very important. You got to set aside a little time every day, you know, to talk to those employees and see what they think and how they feel, because it helps you be a better trainer and a better manager of what you're doing, you know, with them. And so the daily needs are kind of like the most important thing that you do, because that dictates the way your day goes, your week goes, and your month goes. And so just sit down, and everybody's going to be different, and just take a pen and paper and make out a list, and you can do that at any time. Just sit down and start from, like we start here at 5 o'clock in the morning. You start at 5 o'clock and write down everything you do in a day's time. And that'll really help you. And once you get the daily needs done, then you can go to the weekly needs. And the weekly needs would incorporate the blacksmith, veterinarian services, the ordering of feed, deliveries. The weekly is a whole different animal altogether, because you can be a little bit flexible on that. The main thing is that you make sure that you have enough feed every week. You don't want to run out of feed. So if you monitor your feed program and you see you're down to a day or two's worth of feed, you know, reorder. And try to keep it on a consistent basis with your feed dealer, because I found that it's really, really good to have the feed delivered on a regular schedule, like, say, on Thursdays, for example. Is a good day. You come in and you know that the feed will be here on Thursday, you know, and that's important. And you know, I just can't stress enough to get into routines, because once you get into a routine, it's going to make it a lot easier for you and for your staff and for your horses to be successful. And those weekly needs are really interesting, because you need to set aside some time on those weekly needs to talk with your owners, talk with your employees, talk with your vendors, talk with the transportation people that you have. That's all in a weekly schedule. And the reason I put it in a weekly schedule is because you might not be able to talk to your transportation people on you know, like, say, at 9 o'clock every Tuesday. You can set it up, but a lot of times, you know, they have other things that they're doing, or they might be delayed on a trip or something, and you can't talk with them. So that's why I incorporate that into the weekly needs of a barn, because the weekly needs can be adjusted around your schedule and the schedule of the people that you're dealing with. You have a little flexibility there with it, and that's really an important, you know, thing to do, are the weekly needs, because that kind of dictates how your daily needs go, you know, that type of thing. If you have to run and go somewhere special or do something special, you know, you can put that into your weekly needs and then kind of adjust from it. The main thing is you want your daily needs to go on schedule and as close to your list as you can, because that really affects your whole weekly schedule. And there's not much room in your daily needs for adjustment, because you're restricted to a time of a 10 to 12 hour day. Weekly needs, you got 7 days to get everything, you know, squared away and taken care of. And then the monthly needs. The monthly needs is really the headache for the trainer or the owner of the farm, because you have to go down and go over all your financials, your bookkeeping, insurance. Every month you have things, whether they're truck payments, car payments, feed payments, everything. Everything that you have to do monthly is something that is very important. It's very important, because that's usually directed more towards the financial end of what you're doing. And when you're planning on a monthly basis, you can come in and say, okay, well, the 1st of April, we're going to be racing horses in Kentucky. We're going to be showing horses in Kentucky, and we're going to be going to the sales in Texas. So you can kind of plan out and see what you have and kind of go from there, because it helps you get the right staff members to be in the right places at the right time when you're not there. And the monthly one is the tough one, because it's, you do the books and you do the insurance and try to figure out where you need to go and what you need to do. And it's tough on the trainer or the owner, because it's a lot of major decisions have to be made on a monthly basis. And then you kind of like carry it over from there. But then you go back and you hope that the daily needs, weekly needs, and monthly needs, you know, all work out. And at the end of the day, you know, you have a little success in your business. And then one of the things that I really strongly suggest, and I have a hard time doing it, because that lazy streak comes out in you. And when that lazy streak comes out in you you know that I've got this one day a week that I set aside, that I get beside myself and just figure it out. That one day I do planning for the day, for the week, and for the month. It's really tough. You can catch up on your phone calls to owners and to the different venues like transportation, feed people. You just kind of have like a business day in the office to where you can, kind of catch up on these things and get up to speed with everybody that's involved in your organization. And like I said, that would include daily, weekly, and monthly, projects, that you have going on. And also it gives you a little bit of time to kind of think about like in the racing end of it. For us, the tough part is that at some given time and point, when you get a horse into your stable, you find out let's say he's a 2-year-old in training on the farm. And so you call the farm and you ask them to give you the evaluation of your horse, where he's at in his training, what do they think, what's been done to him, when the shoes are being need to be done. There's so many things that you have to coordinate with the farm to get the horse into the stable and get him ready to race. And then you have to pre-plan all his races out for him for at least 6 months. And to get him in the right direction. And you always have to make adjustments and things of that nature. But that's one part of your planning period that you would use for that one day a week to catch up with everybody that's involved in your organization. And I mean from the grooms and hot walkers all the way up to the owners and to the horse transportation, to the feed companies. There's just so many things that you have to stay up on top of, and stay up to date on, that it's tough. And it's hard to do that that day of planning. And let me tell you, it usually takes the whole day. It usually takes the whole day to do that. And because you just, so many things have to be decided and it's tough. But so, when you go back and look at your stable, you look at the first thing you do, you got your daily needs, then you have your weekly needs, monthly needs, and then that one day a week you use for planning. And it's really a good thing. And once you get into a habit, and that's the main thing, is get into the habit, because once you alter that schedule, then it alters everything else that you do in your organization. So you got to be very, very careful. And that's why I say the one day a week usually for planning is pretty good. Now for us in the thoroughbred business, it's usually the Tuesday. It's usually a good day, or a Wednesday a good day for that daily planning. That puts you right in the middle of the week, and you normally race a lot on the weekends. So that's good. Me, I prefer Tuesdays. Tuesdays kind of gets you time to get everything out and get it done and go from there. So that's your one day a week for your planning. And then after you get all that done and everything, you start to really focus on things. And one of the things that you like to do is get involved with your tack shop and your tack shop dealer. Now, as of today, I'm going to be going to Valley Vet Supply. And the reason I'm going to Valley Vet Supply is there are many reasons. For when I first started in the business, they helped me out and did a lot of things for me, and they got me going, and it was really good. They've got a great online store there. One of the other things that I do like, and that comes in your planning needs for the week. They have a nice catalog that they can send out to you, and it's got pictures and prices and a little bit of information about each one of the products that they have. They even do prescriptions for you. There's just so many things they can do that is essential into your planning. Because what I like about it is you can order something today and get it tomorrow. you know, or if you don't really need it tomorrow, then, you know, they've got a good delivery program, and they can have it to you in no time at all. They have ground service. They have next day air, second day air. They also go to Alaska and Hawaii. They have a good information page in there on how to order. They take Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. And that really helps. And what I like about it is when you're planning out your projects and everything, on your tax supplies especially, what I do is I make a list of things that we'll need. For example, you get some products in, and we'll take a product like mineral ice from Straight Arrow. What I like about it is you know that that mineral ice is going to last you approximately 30 days, we'll say. And what I like to do on the track or at the farm is when you get the mineral ice in, the day that it comes in, you write on top of it 30 days from that date. So we'll say if we get something on April the 1st, then, you know, you write on it April 30th, and, you know, so you got 30 days there. And so what I like to do is back it up 2 days and put April 28th on it, and knowing that it's going to last me 30, but on April 28th, I need to order. And so when I go through and look at supplies and things of that nature, there's a date on there on each product. And I know if I see it and it's April 28th, then I know that I need to order on April 28th. And knowing that I've got at least 2 more days of that product, but at least it gives me a jump on things and I don't have to run out, you know, of it. And so I go through the whole barn, whole thing, and you look at it, and those are things that you have to do, you know, basically on a monthly basis. And if you do that, then you're not running out of products and that type of thing. And so that really helps is to do your ordering like that. And so I go through and I make a list of things that you need, like fly spray, mineral ice, alcohol, poultice, you name it. And what I try to do is see that and suggest that everybody comes out and you order like at one time. It's a big bite financially, you know, to order at one time, but then you can take advantage of discount shipping for bulk shipping. And that's what I like. I don't like to get nickel and dimed every day, because sometimes if you got deliveries coming every day, you got to take somebody out of what they're doing during that day, and you have to, you know, assign them to go over and check the delivery in. So I try to bulk shave as much as I can, and that's why we put the dates on everything, you know, so that we know what's coming up. In Valley Vet, they literally have everything that you could want in there for your equine operation. You name it, they've got it. And, you know, one time I was sitting in there, and I was looking at the catalog, just kind of coming through the Valley Vet, going back to days of old. You know, it was really great. And I just thought it was so cool to have and be in a position to where I could start dealing with people like this. And so one of the things that one of the salesmen told me, he says, Scott, he said, when people come into your office or, you know, come into your barn and everything, he said, it's nice to have a catalog. And so he gives me a Valley Vet catalog. And so that kind of got me involved with Valley Vet, you know, from that point on. And it's kind of stuck with me over the years. And then I got to thinking about it here about a year or so ago about the Valley Vet catalog, how important that was to me. You know, just, you had everything right there at your hands. And then I got to thinking about it. I said, well, you know, do I really need a catalog with the internet and everything that there is today? And I said, you know, I said, the internet's good. You can order instantly and that type of thing. But then I got to thinking about the catalog. I got to thinking about the sales catalog. That's all online. I got to thinking about the races and condition books. That's all online. Everything is literally online. But what I did miss in the office, and what you miss, are having those periodicals, those magazines that are laying around, the Blood Horse, you know, that type of thing. You miss seeing those when you go into a farm. And I remember growing up, whenever I go into some of the farms, you'd always see the Blood Horse, or you'd see a Valley Vet magazine, or, you know, you always saw some type of equine magazine, you know, laying there. And there's some kind of medicinal purpose magazines for the horsemen, is you can kind of sit down and thumb through it and take a look or read and you know, find out what's going on, and which you could do online. But when you got the magazine in your hands, it's a little bit different story. You can kind of relax and go back, you know, old school type thing, as they say nowadays. And so that's what you know, what I liked about the magazines, all the different magazines. But it's important that you have a company like Valley Vet Supply involved with your organization, because you get into a routine. You know what they have, you know, and it's important that you order these things. And like I said, it goes back to your list of daily needs, weekly needs, monthly needs. You make your list up, and you know what you have to order monthly, weekly, and daily. And hopefully you don't have to order a lot of things daily, but, you know, that option's there, and you can get next-day delivery. So that would be included in your daily needs if you ran into a bind on something, you know, to do something like that. And the great thing about, you know, dealing with a company like Valley Vet, if you're in California or New York or at your home operation, they can get it to you. And that's the greatest thing in the world, you know, to know that you can have it be sent to you, and you know, you're getting the same product that you normally get at the farm or at the track or at the shows and everything. So Valley Vet, they're really a good company, and that's all important, and it gets into your routine, because you try to make life and the equestrian business as simple as possible. If you can make it simple, then you're going to be successful. You don't want to overthink anything. You don't want to have to, again, oh, gee whiz, did I do this or did I get that? You know, and once you get into that routine, you're right there on top of it, and you know it's going to happen on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. So that's all I got to say about the organization of what you're doing in the equestrian business. So now we go into the real difficult thing that we're having here. The difficult problem that we're having is pre-planning everything that you're doing. It's really tough to do that because things change so much, and they get into a different, whole different. It's not a problem, but you get into a whole different thing when you start planning out for your shows and your racing. And it usually starts months in advance. So you got to take a look at where you're going and how you're going with it. For example, like in the thoroughbreds and your racing, one of the things that you have to do is get that crystal ball out. And once you get the crystal ball out, you got to say, okay, the whole idea of, like, say, thoroughbreds, for example, is taking your horse to the Kentucky Derby. So it takes a lot of pre-planning, prep races, where do you start out, how do you go. There's just so many things that you really have to do, and same thing with shows. Your eventual goal is the Olympics, and a lot of the show horses come in, and it takes years and years for them to actually get to a point to where you can be at that competitive level to, you know, show in the Olympics. That's the tough one. So you're looking at years of planning. And once you get kind of a general idea of where you're going and how you're going to get there with your horses, be it, no matter what breed you're in, then you have to have secondary plans. If your horse doesn't work out, if your horse does not, you know, live up to the expectations that you have, those are the kind of things that, you know, you have to look at and have secondary plans. And it's tough because, you know, I'm telling you, I've been doing this for a long time, and it doesn't always go the way you plan. That is for sure. You know, it's tough, because a lot of dreams are shattered, and a lot of times when it doesn't go as planned, and your horse runs bad or shows bad or gets injured or what have you, it makes it tough. It makes it tough on you, because now you got to sit down and come to the realization that you're not at that level, but you got to be at the next level down, let's say. And the thing of it is when you're at that next level down, you still do and act and train as if you were at the top level. Just be the best you can be at that level and accept that that's what your horse can do and kind of go from there. But be the best you can be. You know, there's an old saying that, hey, you know, I ran a horse here last week. He ran third, but he was the best third of the whole bunch, or he was the best second of the whole bunch. And so you just be the best, do the best you can do. And so you take off and you go there. But again, it goes back to all the preparation and to all the training and all the daily and regular routines that you have. And you got to be prepared for it. You don't want anything to jump up and you know, surprise you that would be out of the ordinary. So it's very, very important, you know, that you get these things set up. And what I like about the Valley Vet is I can be anywhere in the country or anywhere in the world. And we go back to the old internet. You can order off the internet and have it delivered right to where your horse is at, whether it's the farm, the showgrounds, or the racetrack. And so that really helps, you know, when you're organizing yourself to get things, you know, going, that type of thing. And like I said, it transcends to all the things that you're doing in the horse business, you know, from your daily routines to everything that you do. And like we've talked before on the different shows that we've had in the past, another thing that, like the Valley Vet, is our ship.com people that we work with. They can ship you groceries. They can do pharmacies. They can do Office Depot. They can do anything and everything, and they can ship them to right where you're at. So you throw that into the mix. So that's another worry that's off your mind, because basically you're just a phone call or an internet page away from getting whatever you need. And they'll deliver groceries to the racetrack, to the farm, to the showgrounds, to your hotel, you know, the whole nine yards. And that's why you see ship.com at IEM. And then you talk about like Kayak. Kayak can help you with all your transportation needs, hotels, airlines, you know, rental cars. So, again, you're looking at, you know, a phone call or a click away on the internet to having those things taken care of. You know, we're looking at weather.com. That's a click away to tell you about the weather that you're going to be that day, and whether you're at the show, the racetrack, or the farm, or wherever you're traveling to, you can check on the weather. You're one click away. And so, you know, that helps. That helps make your day easier. And what I try to do is I try to make things very convenient for you, to where you can sit down at a desk and literally take care of all the things that you need to take care of, you know, from a desk. And that really helps, you know, when you can do those kind of things. So that, you know, we look at that. And then same thing with like transportation. Call your transporters and don't be a last minute person to call them at the last minute. You always tell them, you know, hey, you know, we're going to be going to Kentucky with four horses on April the 2nd. You know, what do you have? And you do that a month in advance. And same thing for the horse shows, you know, or for the sales or wherever you're going with your horses. You set that up, try to set that up a month in advance so that you can pre-plan it. And it helps the shippers put together loads to get a full load, you know, to go wherever you're going. So that helps. You know, then you want to make sure that you have, you know, all the ag regulations for every state that you'll be traveling through. You have all the ag information, what you need paper-wise, all the things that you need. For example, like a health certificate and a Coggins that you need to when you travel with your horse. You need to make sure that you get with your veterinarian at least a week in advance and tell them, you know, hey, I'm going to Kentucky or I'm going to California or I'm going to Europe, and this is what I need. So you start making this huge, huge list of feed dealers, the tack shop, hotels, everything. You make that list up, and you always have it with you so that you can refer to it, you know, in the time of need, and you can get right to it and not waste a lot of time and have to search, you know, for all these different things. And so now, you know, you're looking at a lot of things on that day of planning that you set aside that you have to do. And fortunately, for most horsemen, what I like about it is the fact that once you get the list done, you know, it's really pretty easy after that. It's just a reference book that you, the guide that you have, and, you know, you can go right to it and get everything that you need taken care of, And it's very important, and it helps you mentally to think about things like that, to ease your mind and knowing that you can get it done. And nowadays with the Internet, you know, you can pretty much take care of everything, you know, that you're doing in the business and really don't have to leave or go anywhere. And, you know, or actually you really don't have to talk to anybody pretty much. You can do it all pretty much online and everything. But, you know, the other thing that most people don't realize about this business is it's very trying on you. It's very physical. You got to get on a regular schedule, you know, for eating and for sleeping. And it's sometimes that's kind of tough to do because there's so many things that happen. And that's why that we started working with Camping World, and they have a lot of RVs that will accommodate from the one person all the way up to a family. And you literally can get an RV that's like a home on wheels. And it makes a big difference when you can do that. And I suggest the RV over the hotel. And the reason that I do that is because in a hotel, for example, like if I'm shipping a horse and I've got to leave a farm at 4:30 in the morning, I get up at 3:30 in the morning. And so then you have to get up and you take a shower, you get ready to go, you go check out. It's a 30, you know, it's an hour long process, you know, to get that done. But if you're in an RV, it's like being at home. You just get up, you got everything there, you get up and you go. And you save the time. You don't have to check out. You don't have to go out to the parking lot to get your car. You just, you know, or truck, you just, you know, you're right there. And it's just like being at home. And that's, there's a lot of soothing feelings that you get when you feel like you're leaving your house opposed to a hotel, you know, that type of thing. And also that's very important to start thinking about things like that. Where are you going to stay at when you go to the races? Where are you going to stay at when you go to the shows or to the sales? You know, that type of thing. And so that helps, you know, with that. Then we have, you can cook your own meals. You can eat what you want. You don't have to worry about, you know, ordering, going through a drive-through or anything like that. So that's really good. And that's why Camping World's on there, is because it makes it more convenient, you know, for us as a horseman, you know, to do these things. And so all the things that you see that we're doing and talking about here are things that actually make it convenient for you. The only inconvenience with our operation that we have is the initial decision that you make on how you're going to set up your schedule. That's the only decision that you've got to make. Some people might not like Tuesdays. They might like Wednesdays or Thursdays, you know, to do what they need to do. And it helps you in the business. And one of the best things that it does for you, it allows you to schedule social, equine social events in your week. And that's really important. You know, you'd be surprised how many things can happen if you make yourself available to be at the showgrounds or the racetrack or, you know, at the sales or whatever equine event you're at, if you take a little time and go down and have a coffee and meet some of the people that are there, do a meet and greet type thing. Meet and greets are really a thing that helps a lot of horsemen, and they don't do it very much. I was really amazed at how they don't do it. They just kind of go on about their way and get in their own little world and don't really get outside of their barn and everything. But we've got a tack shop here called Sunshine and Horses. Liz and Rick Shout run that. They're standard bred people. They're good people. They literally have any and everything that you could want in their tack shop, and they're dealing with a fairly limited space, but they've got it, or they can have it to you by the next day. And how they got here to Sunshine Meadows was we had a meet and greet here, and they came out one day, and I got to talking to them, and we actually put them in a dormitory room, and our dormitories out here to start up the tack shop, and they quickly outgrew that, and now they've got a big, nice trailer on the property, and you literally can pull up, and you're 20 feet away from the door. So all of our equestrians here at Sunshine Meadows are really lucky, because whenever they come in to the farm, they have to pass the shop, and whenever they leave, they have to pass the shop. So again, it's all about convenience, and when you can give somebody the access to tack and all the products that you need for your barn, and you're only 20 feet away from it, you don't have to drive anywhere, you don't have to get in traffic, you just literally leave like you're leaving on a regular basis, and just stop there at the tack shop 20 feet away, you got what you need. And Rick and Liz, can help you with any problems you might have. And it's really a great thing to have somebody like that around. So again, it goes back to, what do we do? It's all about convenience. It's all about keeping things simple. The more simple you turn your business into, if it's simple, then you got it made. And I'm going to name a horse simple, because that's how important it is to us in what we do here. But see, those are the kind of things in the horse business that you have to start taking into consideration. And now, we're at this stage of point right now, we're talking about, schedules and calendars and that type of thing. And so now we got the Kentucky Derby coming up in about 5 weeks. We've got the Rolex coming up in 4 weeks, a 3-day Rolex. We've got all the sales coming up. We've got a sales coming up here next week at Gulfstream. We've got all kinds of things that are coming up. We've got the on Saturday night, the Winter Equestrian Festival will be changing hands. They're going over to a new company. They're going to have an announcement, and they're going to talk about the name and the branding of the Winter Equestrian Festival, what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. It's my understanding that the new company, it's a Dutch company, they have bought all the rights for the television, for the tack shops. They've done everything that they need to do to be involved with the Winter Equestrian Festival and make it even better than it was. And it was really one of the premier places to be in the wintertime for the show horse industry. And, they were really good. But now they're going to get better, and they're going to make it more convenient for you. And those are the kinds of things that, that we try to do here in the horse business. That's your biggest friend, is how convenient can you make your business for you. Make it simple, make it easy so that you can get in and do it smoothly. And one of the things I like about all the different things that we've just talked about is usually in your barn, you might have somebody that can take over and help you with some of the responsibilities. And for example, you might have somebody in the barn that really is familiar with ordering keeping up on top of things, and you can assign somebody to take care of the ordering for the barn, for you. Where they can go out, and when they get low on grain, they can do that for you. You can make it simple, and they can do that. And then all you have to do is just follow up on what your regular schedule is, you know, and that helps a lot. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that you can do to make your life simple. But getting back to the planning for, like, your horse schedule for the year, what I like to do is I like to take and go the initial 30 days for a horse that you get. You take 30 days, and you use that 30 days as an evaluation period of the horse. If he's a racehorse, show horse, it really doesn't matter. But you take that 30 days and you evaluate him and see where you're at, see how he's training, how he's eating. Does he get along good with the groom, or she get along good with the groom? Those are the kind of things that you have to look at. And you try to match up your personnel with the horses, you know, so where it blends in real good and everything. So that's the first 30 days when you start planning your equine schedule. And then the next 60 days, you kind of put their feet to the fire, and you try to let them progress every week, you know, do a little more, a little more, a little more. So now you got 90 days into them, and at the end of 90 days, you know what they can tolerate, you know how they are, you know their habits, you know everything that they do, you know about them in 90 days. And then at the end of that 90 days, one of the things that you need to do is to sit down with your owners, sit down with your staff, and you kind of decide, you know, what kind of horse he is. And then once you do that, then you can really start refining, you know, your schedule. You can start scheduling on that horse's schedule, and in your schedule that he's going to run, let's say, in 60 days at Keeneland. And then you implement all the programs that we just talked about into one, and you start concentrating on that horse going, like, say, from Florida to Keeneland. And so that's what you do. So now you're about, you know, you're about 120 days into the horse, and you're right on the right program. And same thing with your show horses. You start looking at the different shows across the country. Do you want to travel a lot with him? Like say from Florida to New York or to Kentucky or to California, you know, that type of thing. And you kind of look at the shows and see where you can best, you know, increase the value of your horse by going to different shows. Sometimes, for example, you might think about Kentucky, how nice it would be to go to Kentucky with them and show. But, you know, it could be a real tough go. Or at the World Equestrian Center in Ocala, or the New WEF in Wellington, or Parker, Colorado, or, you know, California. You kind of pick and choose your spots where you can develop your horse into a really nice horse and put some value on them. So you got to look at all the places that you're going, and I'd hate to run into a bunch of real tough horses, no matter what discipline I'm in, and it's tough. I'd rather build my horse up to it to where they can be competitive to it, not throw them to the wolves. And that all becomes a part of your planning that you did. So now you can start to see all the things that we're talking about, how tough and how rough it can get, you know, with you as a trainer or an owner, because that's a lot of planning you got to do, and a lot of setbacks. And, you know, there's just so many things that you have to do. Sure, it's easier to stay at home and show or stay at home and race, but, you know, without a doubt, you're going to have to leave that homestead eventually and go somewhere to do what you need to do, you know, with it. And like now, a lot of these processes that we're talking about, they're all going to start for some people coming up here soon. And we're talking about the thoroughbreds now, for example, and so they've got a lot of show horses that are getting ready to be sold. But here on next week, on March the 30th, we have the Fassick Tipton Gulfstream sale, selected two-year-olds in training. And that's going to be at the racetrack there at Gulfstream. The Intertax show will be Monday, March 28th, 9 a.m. is when they go to the track, and they'll be breezing on the track. And you can literally see what they look like. And then on Tuesday, You can go around to the barns and see how they come out of it and take a good look at them before the actual auction starts on Wednesday at 2 p.m. So that makes it nice to be able to go do that. And then that's when all the planning and all your organization and see how good you are at what you do, on your list there that we just talked about. And, you're looking at two-year-olds that are in training that are ready to run here and, in a month or two. You're probably looking at, horses that'd be running in June, start June, July, that type of thing. Saratoga, would be a good spot. There's all kinds of things that you can start looking at, state nominations and see how he is. But you put all your sheet together and then you evaluate the horse and you go from there with it. And that's a tough thing. It's all about organization, my friend. It's all about organization. It's not what you know or who you know, it's how you do it. And that's why you got to make up your own list. Now, your list would be completely different than mine. I'm always thinking, I'm always dreaming, as a lot of my fellow thoroughbred people have always said about me. I'm always dreaming and thinking about, the future. But it's that daily routine, weekly routine, monthly routine that get you through. Be prepared. Make sure that you got everything that you need around you to make your decisions a lot easier. And it's tough because it's hard to sit down. Like, say with these two-year-olds coming out of the Gulfstream sale, you get a nice two-year-old out of there and he's doing all the things that you ask him, and you don't know what kind of horse he's going to be because he really hasn't been put to the test yet, as far as racing, other than the fact that you're breezing the horse, once every week or 10 days, that you're getting him in the right direction. You really don't know what you have until you get on to that. To that first race, or till you get to that first show. And then you know what you have. And like with the show horses, do you go to a small show or do you throw him right into the big shows, where you got 100 horses and you got 1,000 people milling around and walking around? It's just so much for a horse to take in that he's never seen before, especially in the show horse industry. And it makes it tough. It can really get to their mind. And that's what makes it tough. And same thing with the racehorses. I'm involved with a horse that Todd Pletcher has. It's called Ironworks. And the first time out, he comes out. He's in a nice field. He breaks from the pack. He wins by 6 lengths. Piece of cake. So we get all excited. You start thinking, then, like, gee whiz, here this is 3-year-old. He's a mature 3-year-old, solid. And so this is great. So Todd puts him in a mile race a few weeks later, about a month later. And next thing you know, he breaks out of the gate, comes out of the 9 hole, gets dirt in his face, got other horses around him. And he ran good. He certainly wasn't going to be the winner. But all these things were different, to him. And the first race he ran in was 6 furlongs. And once he hits the 6 furlong mark, he was sitting there, he was ready to stop, and then he said, hey, wait a minute, I've got to go a mile in this race. So now he kicks back in and he runs third and he was closing and it was all new to him. And so, Todd looked at him, maybe putting blinkers on him or, making some equipment changes on him. And he said, maybe for race day, but that's something we'll just see how he develops over the next 30 days. And so, Todd said he's going to send him up to Keeneland on April the 2nd, then he'll be running 7 days later on April the 9th at Keeneland. And so that'll give him time to settle in and get adjusted to the weather and, the new surroundings and everything. And so, we're looking at for some great things for him, and immediately what do I think? I think, he did good his first time out. He did good for his second time out by running third, but it was an education. And so we realized that. We weren't disappointed. And we realized that. And so now, if he could pull off a nice victory at Keeneland, then you're looking at a month later, you're looking at, Derby Week at Churchill Downs, maybe a nice little stakes race there for him, to get in if he develops like we hoped that he would develop. That would be great. Get him that fourth race under his belt. And then 2 weeks later, you're looking at the Preakness because we don't know if he can go, a distance. A mile and an eighth might be his limit. We know that he's bred to go a mile. We know that. So there's just so many things. It's like baby steps, that you take up, and it's baby steps and then an evaluation and then kind of go from there. But it's all part of your planning. And every horse has to have its own game plan. Every farm, every stable, every discipline, you have to have your own game plan. And I can't come in and say, well, this is the way you should do it. I come in and I say, this is the way I do it. You have to have your own, game plan. And that really helps because then again, it goes back to you're comfortable because it's something that you did and you developed and that you control. Don't go by what everybody else does. You can't do that. And that's like Woody Stevens won 5 Belmont stake races in a row. And a reporter asked him, said, Woody, he said, how did you win 5 in a row? He said, man, he said, if I knew it, he said, I'd write a book. He said, sell a million copies. And he said, everybody would be winning. He said, you just don't know. Every horse is different. Every discipline's different. Everybody's different. You got to do what works for you. And the only person that can do that is yourself, so that's what we look at. So, those are just kind of things that we kind of look at, what we're doing in the business. And then one of the things that that I'm always thinking about is time. I always worry about time. There's some things that I'll be doing and I'll be thinking about something, or doing something, and it's kind of far-fetched. And I look, I said, boy, that's a waste of time. I'll never get that back, And so you kind of think about things like that and everything. So speaking of time, we're coming into the Derby. We've got coming up the Louisiana Derby on the 26th. We have the UAE Derby on the 26th. Then we have the Sunland Derby on the 27th. We had the Cardinal Condition Stakes on March 31st. And then April 2nd is our kind of our last big run for the Derby. We've got the Florida Derby, the Arkansas Derby, and the Jeff Ruby Stakes that'll be coming up. And then on the 9th, we have the Wood Memorial. On the 9th, we have the Bluegrass Stakes. Then the 9th, the Santa Anita Derby. And then the 16th is the last race, and that's the Lexington at Keeneland. So all the points are, everybody's going to be trying to grab the points in the next 2 weeks to get in that top 20 qualifiers for the Kentucky Derby. And we know now that Bob Baffert is not going to be in this year's Derby or next year's Derby. He lost his court case, and he will be barred from racing and participation in any thoroughbred activity for the next 2 years. He's already been barred from that. And the horses have to be dispersed and given to other owners, and he's going to be losing all his stall spaces to wherever he's been racing at and everything. It's kind of a harsh punishment, and when I say harsh, I don't mean it in that it's a bad thing. It's a good thing because right now in the thoroughbred business, the show horse business, and the standardbred business, the organizations that govern our associations and regulate us, they're laying down the law and saying, you're not going to do this. And we don't care how much money you have. We don't care who you are, whether you're a small guy or a big guy, you're done. And you will follow the rules. And I think it set a good example of what's to come. And the betting public and the show horse and the general public as a whole knows that when they go to see an equine event now, it's going to be top quality, and it's going to be exactly what, we intended it to do, to be. And so that's all I got to say on that. What's done is done. And same thing with the PEDs and the standardbred business. What's done is done there, and the chips are falling where they fall. And it's really good for us. speaking of time, I ran across a thing the other day, and it's from Dwayne Lucas. Dwayne's been around a long time. He's won a multitude of derbies and big stake races and kind of set the pace for most of the people back in the day. And still to this day, he's got a nice horse coming in for the Kentucky Derby that he could win again. And he's got the Kentucky Oaks filly that he could win again. And it's really great to see Wayne. He's still there. He still has that Derby dream. And, I've been in several derbies and over my career, and I tell you, the thing that really gets you is the first time it's great, second time it's great, the third time it's even better, and it's just like you've never been there before, because it's always something different with the Derby, something about the historical aspect of what you're doing, and that includes shows and standardbreds and everything. You kind of look at it. But Dwayne had written this little poem. It's called Out of Time. It says, I woke up today with a troubled and uneasy mind, only to realize in this world, wonderful life, I was running out of time. Am I a poet with a verse that would not rhyme, or a simple dancer a step and a half behind? I thought all the ups and downs, and a life so very real and strong, knowing God has blessed me in every way as I struggle and work to move along. So today, I will love each and every one as if they were truly mine, and as I realize and know I'm running out of time. So it just goes to show you that, whenever you're here, and I wrote back and told Wayne, I said, he gave me a lot of memories over the years and everything. And I said, memories are something time can't change. Time does not change memories. You always have those. And so when I'm talking about anything that you do in life, memories are it. And especially in the horse business, I've talked more about the memories that I've had with the people that I've worked with, and the places I've been, and the things I've done, than the actual races that we won. That's what I do. I talk about how we got there, the people, the places, the horses, how we got there. That's what I talk about. Time, God and time gave me that. And so I made great memories. I made great memories. And time will never change memories that will always be there. And so just remember, when you're in the horse business or life in general, how valuable that time is. Make a memory. Change somebody's life. Talk about it down the road in the future. Set up on the porch in the rocking chair and talk about the memories, because you have time to do that until there is no more time left in your clock. And so that's what we're trying to do here at the International Equine Networks, create memories, do things, and whether you're successful. Hey, I've talked about a lot of failures more than I did some of my successes, but it's that memory that you do. But just remember, start planning out your summer here. All the shows, big shows are starting up here this month. All the big races are starting up here. Start planning those vacations, get in your Camping World camper and get on MapQuest on there and go see a horse event. Google it, equine events in your area. So that looks like it's about it for us today here. It's been kind of a different day for us here. We're kind of getting ready to start ramping things up in April, and I've got my schedule all down, and no more lollygagging, no more sitting behind. Medically, I'm in great shape, so I can do a lot more things than I couldn't in the last year. So we're back on that schedule, and we look forward to hearing from you next week and talking with you out in the showgrounds and out in the racetracks. And stay tuned next week to our final prep for the Derby, for the Kentucky Derby. Tune in next time on BBS at 1 o'clock Thursday afternoons. This is Scott Miller from the International Equine Report.